But thank God that in Christ we're one. Amen. We're one in Christ. And that's what's a blessing. Jews and Gentiles, we're one in Christ. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. And thank God for that. Well, tonight, I'd like you to consider some things here. I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement. Thank you for letting me come here tonight. And appreciate the support that I believe you still support Samuel, my son, right? And I appreciate that, and I know that you folks love the Jewish people, and I know you've probably been praying for my wife, and my wife's been going through some difficult times. You know, the thing is, the Bible doesn't say that he promised us a bed of roses, right? Now, some country singer came up with a song on that. I remember that when I was a little boy, you know, and you probably know who it is. But God did give us some precious promises. You know how many promises there are in the Bible? At least 3,000 promises. 3,000 promises. So, but they don't all apply to us. But there's still a good many that do, right? And we could claim those promises. That's the whole. We can claim many of those promises. And so that'd be good. Start memorizing some of those promises. And, you know, memorization is a powerful tool for the church. It's a powerful tool for the families. It's a powerful tool for your life. And, you know, when you went into the tabernacle, there were no windows in the tabernacle. You know that? In the tent? No windows whatsoever. And do you know that there's no electricity, obviously? But they had to keep that menorah, that seven-branch candlestick, they had to have it lit 24/7. And the reason why it had to be lit 24/7 is because they wouldn't know where they would stumble all over the place. They'd run into stuff, right? So you got to keep the lights on. And so that the menorah is a picture of the Word of God. And thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And now I would say to you, if you had a choice between having a Bible and praying, let's say they only gave you, some communistic countries, and they would say, well, we'll give you a choice, either have a Bible or we'll let you pray. Now you choose one. Which one would you choose? So let me ask you a question. How many would say, well, you know, now Bible does say now, a man ought always to pray and not to faint, right? We should pray without ceasing. So prayer is very important, very, very important. Would never diminish the importance of prayer. And the Word of God's important, obviously. Now, if you had to make a choice, and thank God we don't have to make that choice, right? But we have to make that choice. I wonder how many would raise their hand and say, well, I think I'd rather have a Bible than to pray. How many would raise your voice? All right. Good. A few hands. And I guess the rest of you, would you say prayer? If you say prayer, raise your hand. All right. So maybe some don't even know. Okay. You're neutral. All right. So now here's the thing. In the tabernacle, you had to keep the menorah lit 24/7, right? But there was the altar of incense. Now, the altar of incense was right before you got to the second veil, and the altar of incense is a type of prayer. Now, again, if you didn't light the menorah, you'd probably knock the altar of incense down or something. And you have to have the light. The Word of God's the light, isn't it? The entrance to His words giveth light. And the Word of God's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So the bottom line is this. We could pray all we want. Now here's the thing. We could pray all we want. We could talk to God all we want. But don't you think it's more important for God to talk to us? You can say amen. That's right. It's far more important for God to talk to us than for us to talk to God. And not only that, we really don't know how to pray, to tell you the honest truth. And we know not what to pray, except the Holy Ghost with groanings that cannot be uttered intercede for our prayers. So if we were out and had to make a choice, we choose the Word of God. And you know something? If the Word of God's a priority in our lives, the Word of God will be fitted in our lips and we'll know how to pray. You know, when a newborn Christian starts praying, it's kind of sweet, isn't it? Doesn't quite know how to articulate the words, and he's mumbling and fumbling all over the place. But he's doing the best he can. He's praying from his heart. And then as he starts to read the Word of God every day and he starts to memorize the Word of God, you start hearing the articulation of prayers a lot more intelligent biblically, isn't it? And I know that when I'm asked to pray in a church, I'll start to preach in my prayer. Yeah, that's right. Because I'm not praying for myself now. I'm praying for the church, right? And I love when unsaved people ask me to pray. Lord, please save them. They're on their way to a devil's hell. And I mean it with all my heart. So good. Prayer can be used to get the truth out to unsaved people. All right, anyhow, that's not the message or anything. That was just an hors d'oeuvre. Is it called hors d'oeuvre? Isn't it good to be saved? It's so good to be saved. Now, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what we need. We need joy. That's right. We need joy. It's our strength. The joy of the Lord. And I mentioned this morning there at Victory that we, you know, my poor wife, she had to go through that MRI thing for 5 hours. Oh, mercy. Now, they gave her a break every 25 minutes or so, but 5 hours she had to go through that thing. And I told her, I said, now, sweetheart, you just need to focus because there's, you know, a lot of noise if you've been through an MRI. So just focus on God's Word. Just repeat as many verses as you can. Think about the Word of God and sing within. You know, you sing. You can sing. You can sing and within your heart. And just focus on the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? We're not going to give that up now, are we? It don't matter how bad it gets, ladies and gentlemen. And if you think it's going to get better, you're mistaken. It's not going to get better in the sense that most people think. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But I will assure you this from the Bible, it's going to get a lot better. But it's going to get worse before it gets a lot better. Would you not agree? If you know the Bible, you have to say amen to that. Now, so let's all stand if you don't mind, if you're able to stand. And I like you to turn to the New Testament. And now they didn't tell me how long to preach. Now last time they had a preacher preach in the New Testament, he preached until somebody dropped dead. Is that all right? It was about midnight, the Bible said. And you know, they had one of the greatest preachers of all time there, Paul the Apostle, and he preached. We estimate he started at 6 o'clock p.m. because that was the traditional time they started. And he preached from 6 to about midnight. So that's about 6 hours of preaching. Amen. What do you think about that? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Now, they may have had singing and prayer. We don't know. We can assume that. But Eutychus was, you know, he fell asleep. He was in the third loft. I have a whole message about this, by the way. And can you imagine falling asleep at the preaching of Paul the Apostle? Well, he did. He fell asleep, poor guy. And he fell out and from the third story, and he dropped dead. Poor guy, dropped dead. And you think everybody go home after that, right? Somebody dropped dead. Has that ever happened? It happened in a meeting I was in. I'll tell you what, it shut it down quick. I mean, everybody left after that. Everybody left. But they didn't leave, though. No, because Paul put the healing on them. And that's when they really had healing, right? Yeah, no Benny Hinn back in those days. Did I ever tell you why when Benny Hinn says heal, you know, and there's thousands of people there, and he says heal, and they all kind of go backwards like that? Did I ever tell you why that happens? It's not because he has any power. It's because he has bad breath. All right, okay. All right. Oh, Benny Hinn. I think Benny Hinn actually confessed. I saw a little clip. Benny Hinn actually said, this prosperity stuff, it's a joke. It's a big joke. Maybe he'll get saved. Wouldn't that be something? All right. Praise the Lord. So, all right. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I'd like to just read one verse here. James chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible says, whereas you know, oh, by the way, I didn't finish what I was trying to say. So he dropped dead, and Paul put the healing on him. And then what happened? Well, he kept on preaching, didn't he? Yeah. And it doesn't say anyone left, right? So what do you think? Are you ready for that?
Amen.
Come on now. We started at 6, didn't we? We started about 6 o'clock. Yeah.
Amen.
Now, if you want to have revival in this church, you're going to have to be willing to stay. That's right. I'd love to do that. The only time I ever got to preach almost like that was when I was in Germany, and they preached me half to death over there, and I had a great time. All right. Well, verse 14 in James chapter 4, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the good word of God. We know how powerful it is. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to be the discerner of the very thoughts of our hearts. And I pray now that you be a help and an encouragement to the work of God here. And Lord, encourage our hearts to continue on doing the work that pleases you the most. And we'll pray now, perhaps there is a lost sinner here among us. I do not know, but you know their hearts. And if someone's truly lost, Lord, I pray you'd save them tonight. It'd be such a blessing. And those of us that are truly saved, help us to love you more today than we did yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, this verse here, I actually got this illustration from another preacher, and I never quite thought about it, but I thought it was a great illustration. He said about life being a vapor. Now, what better illustration can one use than something like this? This is a good example of a vapor right here. There it is, right? That's what life is, just a vapor. And I thought to myself, man, that's such a good example. So I wouldn't put too much stock into this life. For the saint of God is just a temporary abode. My family and I had a little song, a little song we kind of came up with. I won't sing it to you, but wow, that smells good. It smells good up here, amen? And, whew, I think I put too much out there. Anyhow, when we come to our gate, we have a little song, and, something like, this is just our, temporary home. We're just passing by. We're just pilgrims passing by. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm looking for New Jerusalem. How about you? You know, New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. That's my next home. Amen. This life is just a vapor, right? And one day, God's going to destroy this planet. All these tree huggers, man, sorry for them. This planet's going to melt with fervent heat. That's what the Bible says. It'll be no more. But you and I will be on a new earth. And we'll have atomic eyesight. Now, just think about that, atomic eyesight. We'll be able to see things we never thought possible. Of course, we'll have a glorified body, and we'll be able to do things we never thought possible. Can you imagine flying around without an engine? Now, come on, that's great. And I'm serious. And we can go from one planet to the next just like that. Amen. Come on, think about it like that. You know? Think about what it's going to be like for all eternity. And just think about now, especially now during the millennial kingdom, the church of the living God, we're going to have glorified bodies. And the thing about that I like the most about the millennial kingdom is while these other earthlings that come in later, they come in the beginning and they get saved, but they don't have glorified bodies. See, in the rapture, we're going to have glorified bodies, right? Right? And But they're going to come in there and see, they're going to be eating and eating, and they could get fat. They can get fat. We'll never be fat again. We can eat and eat and eat and eat and never get fat. Now, come on. That's something to shout about right there. Amen. Woo! Come on now. Come on now. But think about it. Think about it. Think about all the blessings that we have to look forward to. This life is just but a vapor. It really is. That's not even the title of the message. But maybe it ought to be, I don't know. I'm not into big titles and messages. I just pray that whatever God wants for us, will be a help and a blessing to us all. But we all have challenges, we all have trials, and we all have thorns in the flesh. Every one of us. They're different ones. Everybody has a different one. Right? Right now, my wife's going through a hard time in her life. It affects me, it affects the whole family, affects the whole ministry, really. My wife's like one of the anchors of the mission work. Man, we're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's tough right now. It is real tough. But in the scheme of things, it's just a vapor. Just a vapor, ladies and gentlemen. This life, just a vapor. I'm looking for eternity. I'm looking for the time I get to see Jesus face to face. Come on now. Aren't you? Come on now. Right? We don't store our treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. No, I'm thinking about eternity. I'm looking. See, that's what they say in the Greek, you know, these Greek scholars. That's the continual present tense. Looking. Right now, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's something we need to be focusing. See, we got to get our focus on the right thing. Don't get focused on present stuff. Get focused on eternal things. And if you do that, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how bad it gets on this planet, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens to you, because things are going to get better. And that, believe it or not, that is the title of the message. If you're writing this down, the title of the message is, it's going to get better. The things are tough right now. And not just tough for you all, it's tough for everybody. If you're saved, it's going to be tough. One of the things I guarantee when a person gets saved, it's going to get tougher than it was before they were saved. For the Bible talks about that with tribulation, we must inherit the kingdom of God. We were not promised a bed of roses. And this prosperity gospel, it's the biggest lie from the devil, isn't it? Now, that shouldn't discourage you. I mean, if you was to tell a lost sinner all the things that could happen to them after they get saved, they probably wouldn't want to get saved. Right? Come on now. But the thing is that besides the fact that things do get tough, we know the end of the story, don't we? You know what? It wouldn't matter what they do to me now. It wouldn't matter what they do to me, because I have eternal life. This life is just a vapor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they do to me. Just think about those martyrs that were burned at the stake. I mean, come on. I just think about it. If I was captured by the harlot church over there in Europe during the Dark Ages, you know, they call it the Dark Ages for a reason, right? I mean, it was dark. It was really dark, spiritually dark. And if they just found a portion of the Bible in your home, they'd drag you out. If you was a daddy, they'd drag you out, and they would torture you so that you would recant and you would change your mind. Huh? And they're still going to kill you anyway. They're just going to put you to death a little bit easier, that's all. You know, they'll choke you to death before the fire consumes you. That was an act of mercy by the Roman Catholic Church. Can you believe that? That's why I'm a Baptist by conviction. Give me an amen. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. They say over 53 million of our Baptist forefathers died. They were burned at the stake. Can you imagine that? And before they were burned at the stake, they were tortured beyond recognition. I don't know if you've ever gone to the, they call it the Anabaptist Museum up there near Winona Lake. It's on the border of Michigan. Has anyone ever gone there? What isn't that amazing? They still got some of the replicas of the torture tools. Yeah. All the stuff that they did to the human body, you couldn't talk about it in a mixed multitude, a mixed assembly like this. You couldn't say it. And they got, did you get the martyr's mirror? That's the Baptist Fox's Book of Martyrs, isn't it? It's a big old thing, right? And there are pictures in there you can't show to your young people. Terrible, horrible things. Now, us, compared to that, I think we're doing pretty good. Come on now! Come on now! We got something to shout about, don't we? We're still doing pretty good. We're doing a whole lot better than what our forefathers suffered. We don't have a lick. Listen, we don't have any reason to complain. Not one iota. It doesn't matter. Because we ain't suffering not even close to what they suffered. We haven't yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Americans don't know what it means to suffer. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you right now, we got it good. And that doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. Of course we're going to suffer, right? But we got the Word of God right here. We got the Word of God. How many have more than three Bibles at their home? Do you know that most of the 53 million Baptists that were burned at the stake didn't even have a copy of the Bible? Not one copy. That's right. Not one copy. They had to walk miles to hear the Word of God preached. What do you think about that? And here we got the Bible. We got the King James Bible.
Right here, we got 2, 3, 4 copies, man. Come on now, isn't that something to shout about? Huh?
You talk about memorization, man. They really had to work hard to memorize the Bible. I know I have true stories of there during there under communism in Russia, where if they found, you know, a Bible in a home, they would take the daddy out of the home and they confiscate all the Bibles and they would send daddy to Siberian prison camp. I used to write them. I used to write back and forth. Some of our brothers that were in Siberian prison. I wouldn't doubt there's still some over there. And you say, well, they didn't have the Bible. What happened to the family? I'll tell you what happened to the family. They knew that it could happen that one day that the KGB, right? That they would come in and confiscate the Word of God. So you know what they did? They had big families on purpose. You said, why do they have big families on purpose? Well, because they decided that there's 66 books in the Bible, they need to have more children. Come on, give me an amen. So they split up the Bible, and every child got to memorize certain books of the Bible. So they had the whole Bible memorized. Amen. So they could confiscate the written word, but they can never confiscate the living word. That's right. I mean, we got it good, ladies and gentlemen. And when you think you got it rough, you better slap yourself on the face. Say, shut up! Because we got it good. There are Nigerian Christians right now. They're being tortured for Christ. Nigerian Christians. They're killing by the hundreds. They have over 100,000 Nigerian Christians. You say, well, they don't claim to be Baptists. Well, I don't know what they claim to be, but they're willing to die for Christ. Right? You know, there's a lot of Christians are Baptists, but they don't know they're Baptists. Come on now. You know, being a Baptist is not, we're not a denomination. I didn't join a denomination when I got saved. Being a Baptist is what I believe. That's right. But there's a lot of Christians in Nigeria and Sudan and some of these countries. They're young in the faith. They don't have a lot of, they didn't have 200-something years to develop what we have today in America. But they're willing to die and be tortured for Christ. Do you think that the nominal Christian today in America would be able to go through what these Christians are going through in these other countries? You think they'd be willing to do that? You think they'd be able to do that in the spiritual state that we are in America? Right? So all I'm trying to say is life is but a vapor. Don't put a whole lot of stock in this life. Right? We need to dwell on eternal things. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that blessed hope. Aren't you? How many want Jesus to come? How many want Jesus to appear right now? Take us out of this mess. Get us out of here. Yeah, I don't know about you. I like you know, shooting and hunting and stuff like that and fishing. I haven't done it for 20 years. I really like that stuff. I don't have time for it, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't have time. you know. And but I like that, you know. I like, you know, different things, you know. I'm not against that. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah, come on now. Got to have this mind thinking on right things. We need to be focused on right things. Don't focus on things that bother you. Make no provision for the flesh that you may lust thereby. It's not just talking about temptations, but all kinds of things that seem to trouble us these days. You see, if I was to think about my wife's condition, I'd be depressed. I'd just be walking around like a zombie. But I ain't depressed. Do I look like I'm depressed? Come on, do I look like I'm depressed? Come on now. But I know that God has everything under control. It's in His hands. I'm not worried about nothing. Amen. I'm trusting the Lord. By the grace of God, I trust the Lord with all my heart. I'm not leaning unto my own understanding. I don't have to explain why these things happen. I just have to trust the Lord. He's in control. But, ladies and gentlemen, life truly is a vapor. And you don't have to turn these scriptures. I'm just going to read it to you. Just listen closely. But James chapter 1, verse 10 says, "But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away." Now, when you're at a funeral and you hear so-and-so passed away, now you might find it in the Bible, but I haven't found it yet. Do you know that a saved person, they never say he passed away? No. The people that pass away are the unsaved people. They pass away. But you know, Christians don't pass away. They depart. See? They depart. We depart. And we're already dead in Christ. Right? Come on now. But you know, the brevity of life is that it's like a vapor and it's like the flower of the grass. It shall pass away. It's gone. And Psalms 39:5 says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best," think about it, "every man at his best state is altogether vanity." You know, I just think about us. What are we? We're just a bunch of grasshoppers. Come on now. And yet God, the God of heaven that created heaven and earth, He paid attention. He's paying attention to this. We're nothing. Psalms 89:47, "Remember how short my time is," the psalmist said. "Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" It's a question, obviously. And, of course, he didn't make all men in vain. But in 1 Peter 1:24, the Bible, I'm sure you know this verse, but, "For all flesh is as grass," right? "And all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." That's how much stock God puts into this life. Why should we put any more value to this life? What is life? What is this life? It's just a vapor, vanishes away. And yet, people are saving up millions and millions of dollars for tomorrow. Now, if you have a lot of money, I would recommend to give it to me. There's no guarantee you're going to have it tomorrow, so you might as well give it to me. Amen. All right. But in 1 John 2:17, the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, woo, abideth forever. I like that, don't you? Nothing like the Bible. Look, I got almost 10,000 books in my library. And all those books are about one book. It's the Bible. And there's no book ever written that's just like the Bible, the way the Bible says things. So I would tell you that life is but a vapor. And we have to be careful about putting so much of our stock in this life. And I'm not saying that it's not a good idea to have insurance. I have insurance, you know. I have an eternal assurance policy. But I'm not against insurance. I think it's wise. A man should, a daddy should take care of his family. Amen. Come on. Amen. I think that's proper. If God takes me home, I'm not going to leave my family with all this, right? Obligations or whatever. I think it's a wise thing to have car insurance. I think it's wise. There are certain things that are wise to be done. It's good to be prudent, right? And I think preparation is important. But you know when the Y2K, remember Y2K? How many remember Y2K? Oh, boy, everybody was panicking. But if you knew anything about computers, you wasn't sweating, cutting a sweat now, were you? You knew about all those zero and one, zero and ones. You knew all that was a big, you know that whole thing was a big lie, the Y2K. It's the biggest lie. I mean, it was, you know where I was at Y2K? I didn't save up for nothing. They were survivalists, right? They hoard the food and everything, remember? Said, why the whole thing? I didn't cut a sweat. It didn't bother me because I knew the whole thing was a lie anyway. You know where I was? By the good grace of God, I was in Jerusalem stuffing tracks into the Wailing Wall over there. That's where I was. Woo! I didn't cut a sweat, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't bother me a bit. Didn't bother me a bit, ladies and gentlemen. But I will tell you this. As life is but a vapor, it's here and just gone just like that, right? In a moment, just like that, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be out of here. According to 1 Corinthians 15:52, a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and sorry to disappoint you, it's not President Trump. Give me an amen. Now, I appreciate President Trump, but he's not the last Trump. But I did think it was, God has a sense of humor now. He could be the last president of the United States. Come on, it'd be the last president I ever had when I get raptured. Oh, by the way, how many have said they wish they would go up in the rapture? Come on. How many would say that? Don't you know that if you're saved, you're going up in the rapture? The question is whether dead or alive. Okay, come on now. We're all going up in the rapture. We're saved. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, we have so much to be thankful, which giveth us the victory through the Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? We don't have to pray for victory. We already got it. When people come to the altar and I come to them and say, what you here for? I said, Brother Freed, I need victory over this. I need victory. I said, hey, you already got it. You got victory. Just claim it. Amen. We have the victory. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because we have this victory, he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, ladies and gentlemen, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain, ladies and gentlemen, in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, here's the good news, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's a, a hallelujah chorus right there. Amen. Remember, God didn't promise us a bed of roses. He never promised that we wouldn't have trouble. He never promised that we wouldn't be persecuted. He never promised that things would be just always, you know, great. But evidently, he did promise that we'd never be forsaken. He did promise that, huh? He says we could be cast down, but he did promise we wouldn't be destroyed. See? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Are you fainting? Are you fainting? For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I love this part of this, these verses. Oh, this helps me. This really helps me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let me kind of bring this together tonight for us. That as a child of God, the bottom line is, it's going to get better. If you look at your present condition, it may not be as good as you'd like it to be. I wish to God that my wife wouldn't be going through this terrible time. If you know anyone that's gone through cancer and had to go through treatments, and you know, it's tough. It's really tough. Some don't make it. Sometimes the treatments kill them before the cancer does. It's tough. My wife's been going through the second phase of treatments, and it's almost paralyzed the left side of her body. It's horrible. It affects the sinews and the bone and muscle tissue. It's horrible. And so we had to take her off of the treatments because if she were to continue like that, she'd have permanent damage for the rest of her life. So now she's not getting the treatment. And what if the decision has to be made between getting treatments or being paralyzed? That's a hard decision, isn't it? I already know what decision I would make. I'll tell you what I would make, because I haven't already told her this, but I think she would agree with me anyhow. If the decision was for her to not get the treatment, In order to spare her left side from being permanently damaged versus getting the treatment, and still there's no guarantee that cancer will not come back, I'm of the mind, I've been doing a lot of praying about this. How many will pray with me about this? Because this is tough. This is a tough decision, you know. It's almost like, I don't know if it's not as bad as if a woman's carrying a baby and they're saying, you know, if you give birth, you're both going to die. I mean, I think most mothers would say, well, I'm going to give birth. I want the baby to live. I'll die and let the baby live. Right? You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's pretty dramatic. I'd be put in a situation like that. But for me, I mean, if we have to make a decision versus getting the continual treatment so that the cancer doesn't come back, because my wife has three types of cancer, and one is the type of cancer that can come back, and when it does, it kills you. Boom. It metastasized, is that the right word? Metastasized. And well, Brother Tidwell was preaching on Saturday for us. We had a special meeting. His wife was in remission, and they pretty much said that it's not going to come back. And somehow it metastasized, and it came back with a raging way, and they put her on radiation, you know, hoping they could stop it. And it got to her brain, and she died of brain cancer. But it was in another place before. It metastasized into her brain. She died in 3 weeks, just out of here. And it's only happened 6 months. And this life is but a vapor. But we have eternity. So I would rather my wife enjoy the last days of her life, if that's what it means. And I hope it doesn't mean that. But I'd rather my wife enjoy the last days of her life without being paralyzed. Amen? But these are hard decisions. But they're temporary. I mean, really, this life is just like a vapor. It's temporary. You know, your trouble is temporary. It's just temporary. I mean, come on now. It's just a light affliction. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just, compared to eternity, it's nothing. Anything you're going through right now, anything, is nothing to compare to the blessings that are in store for you as a child of God. So you see where we got to have our mind focused? If I focus on what's going on in my life and my wife's life, I wouldn't be able to preach. I'd be so distraught. I would be discouraged. I would be depressed. But I'm not going to let that happen by the grace of God. For a child of God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's going to get better. In Psalms 30, verse 5, the Bible says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping, you know this verse, weeping may endure for a night. Here's the good news. But joy cometh in the morning. Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 28, I'm not going to read all these verses, but you know that verse, and we know that all things work together for good. It's conditional now. To them that love God. It's conditional. Now, I love God, and my wife, I know she loves God. No question about it. And I'm confident it's all going to work out to his glory. Romans 5, verses 3-4 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Are you glorying in your tribulation? We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Don't diminish the benefit of tribulation and suffering. There is a benefit in it. And the good Lord will see us through it. You know, for Israel right now, they're really going through it, aren't they? I mean, they are going through a hard time. I don't know if you know this, but I grew up in Israel. Not all my young life, but part of it. I was there during the Yom Kippur War, the Day of Atonement, in 1973. So that gives you a little hint of how old I am. Amen. And you know what? I don't know. Getting old is kind of a little bit of a shocker. I didn't know I was so old until I went to Zaxby's, and they said to me, we're going to give you a senior citizens discount. I said, what? Do I look that old? And then I knew I was getting old when they start opening the door for me. You know, like the girl here, one of the little girls, she saw me coming. She said, "This is an old guy. I got to open the door for him." Can I get a witness? That was the churches in Georgia that say, "Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?" I mean, listen to me. Growing old, I don't feel old, but I'm old. I mean, I don't run as fast. If you had heard me when I first started preaching, boy, I was a locomotive. Woo! They have a nickname for me. They call it, "Oh, here comes the shouting Jew." Amen. Now, I've slowed down a little bit. But once in a while, the steam engine gets cranking. Now, watch out. Woo! Now, Israel is going to go through the worst tribulation and the worst Holocaust they have gone through. They've already suffered greatly. You know anything about it, right? Holocaust, all that stuff, right? And yet, in tribulation, the Bible says, "And I will bring the third part," because there's only going to be one third left. The rest of them are going to be wiped out during the tribulation. Aren't you glad you ain't going to be down here in the tribulation? I'm not going to be here. "And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people." And they just say, "The Lord is my God." And guess what? They're going to recognize Jesus as their Lord, God, and Messiah, and Savior. And all Israel shall be saved. You can say amen to that. And it'll be a glorious time. It's going to get better for you and I as saints. I'm a saint, by the way. I'm not some inanimate object, you know, with people bow down, you know, a statue, right? I'm a saint. I'm a saint. Right, I'm a saint. I see, I hear, I'm a saint. I'm alive. And I got some, you know, image they put on the wall. Right? And they pay homage to some statue. It's a saint, Saint Augustus, Saint Joseph. I'm a saint, I'm alive. Being a saint means you're alive. Do you know I'll never die? I'm not going through the second death, are you? See, I'm alive in Christ. And this body's just going to vanish. But I'm alive in Christ, ladies and gentlemen. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Woo, glory! And Peter talks about that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. At what? The appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a blessing. "Whom having not seen you love." Has anyone ever seen Jesus face to face yet? If you say, "I've seen Jesus face to face," I will call the psychiatrist for you tomorrow. I'll make sure it's a Jewish psychiatrist. Get a lot of help. I've not seen him. You haven't seen him. "Whom having not seen, you love." I never seen Jesus. Yeah, come on now. But I know he's seen me. I know he lives in me. I know he's in there. I never seen him get it in there, but I know he's there. Right? How many know he's? How many of you know that he lives in you? Amen. Glory. "Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get better for Israel, and it's going to be better for us. We do have a better hope. Yeah, you just do a word study and the word "better," it gets better and better, right? And according to Hebrews 7:19, "For the Lord made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope." You know, we have a better hope. Amen. A better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. In Hebrews 7:22, it says we have a better testament. "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." Do you know we have a better Bible? A better Bible than they had? You say, really? We had a better Bible? Yes. We have a complete revelation of God. They didn't have all the revelation of God. So it's better in that way. And by the way, do you know that the King James Bible is better than the originals? Ooh, I never heard that before. Yes, it's better. How many know how to speak Hebrew and Greek? Raise your hand. You don't, do you? So I guess the King James is better in that regard, isn't it? Come on now! I had you thinking, didn't I? Come on, it is better because you know English. Thank God for that. But if I gave you a Greek Bible, you'd be in bad trouble now, wouldn't you? It's better in that regard, isn't it? But it ain't any more perfect or less perfect than an original. Come on, yeah, yeah. I ain't no Ruckmanite. Woo, glory! You know, Ruckmanites, bless their heart, they mean well. But they believe in double inspiration. We don't believe the translators were inspired. But we do believe that providentially God used them. We do believe that, right? We believe in the providential preservation of the Word of God. He inspired a perfect Bible, and he preserved it perfect all down through the ages. And now we have it in the English language, King James Bible. Amen? And none of us have a 1611. Have you got 1611 here? Is this an actual 1611? Well, I don't use the 1611. I mean, I could, but I'd have a hard time. I'm thankful for the 1769 edition, which most of us have. Now, it hasn't departed from 1611. It's just that the spelling is more Americanized. 1611 is British English, by the way. It's British English, right? I'm not British. We left that, and then we are Americans. Amen! Do you know that Webster said, I'm sick and tired. I'm paraphrasing what he said. I'm sick and tired of this British dictionary. I'm not British. I'm an American. He came up with the 1828 American Dictionary. Woo, glory. I know. You all want to go home? I thought you said you want a revival. We got 5 hours for revival. So we got a better hope. We got a better testament. And you know what? We got a better covenant. We got a better covenant than they had. Yeah, that's right. And according to Hebrews 8:6, it says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator," talking about Christ, "he's mediator of a better covenant." Aren't you thankful that we're not under the old covenant? We're under the new covenant? Do you know how good it is? Because if you would eat some of that pork, that some of you love to eat that pork meat, they'd have to kill you over that. Now, the Bible says that swine's flesh is an abomination to the, it's an abomination to the Jews. Aren't you Gentile believers? Aren't you happy it didn't say Gentiles? Eat all the pork you want, get away with it. No, I'm not recommending that. Don't say, now Dr. Fried says, okay, to eat pork. I don't eat it. First of all, it's not good for you. Any doctor will tell you it's not good for you. It's bad for high blood pressure and all that stuff. And do you even eat pork? Maybe I'm not even talking to pork eaters here. I don't know. But everybody, yeah. Are you a pork eater? Okay. That's why his beard looks so good. Amen. Now, listen. You better get all the pork you can get. You know, can all you get, eat all you get, can all you get. Ain't going to be no pork eating in the millennial, buddy. Ain't going to be no meat. No, we're not going to eat no meat either, except for the priests. I don't know what they're going to do. I guess they might partake. But they won't be the ones with glorified bodies. Yeah. We're going to be vegetarians, buddy. That's right. Vegetarians. We're all going to be on a diet. Woo! That's right. Praise the Lord. So we got a better covenant, a new covenant. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you was to commit the same sins we commit today, they committed back then? We wouldn't be here now, would we? You see what I'm saying? We got liberty. We got grace. We got mercy that they never experienced. So we got better covenant. And then the Bible says, continues, which was established upon, guess what? Better promises. We got a better promise. And guess what? That's all based on a better sacrifice in Hebrews 9:23. And whenever you get discouraged about something, just read Hebrews chapter 9. It'll cheer you up. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Christ is a better sacrifice, right? With those other sacrifices, they had to come back every year for the Day of Atonement. And they had to bring all kinds of sacrifices. If you committed a sin of commission, you had to go bring a sacrifice. If you commit a sin of ignorance, you had to bring a sacrifice. Every single day, you had to bring sacrifices. Every single day. Aren't you glad we don't have to bring a sacrifice like that anymore? Christ is our sacrifice. However, I do appreciate that memory verse in Romans chapter 12. Did you get to this part about presenting your... We haven't done that one part yet, have we? Presenting your body a living... You got to memorize that part. Presenting your body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your... Did we do some of that already? You see how memorization is important? I don't even remember that part. But we're a living sacrifice, right? But not for sin now, but to present ourselves acceptable, holy, and to the Lord. After all, we're bought with a price. We don't even belong to ourselves anymore, right? Right? When you go to a store, ladies, and you want to find something to wear, you don't say, oh, I want to make sure this looks good on me. You know? No, you don't talk like that. You say, I want to make sure what I wear glorifies God. Come on now. Holy, holy wardrobe. Ladies, give me an amen. Holy. Not holes in your wardrobe, amen, but holy. Woo, woo. He'll probably wind up being a preacher before long. Glory to God. Or a singer. You kids know how to sing? There you go, I told you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, this is Paul talking here, and he says, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. We have a better substance. Isn't that good? We have a better substance. All right, look at this one. Man, all these betters, most of them are in the book of Hebrews. That's what's amazing about it. Do you know we have a better country? Now, it's not the United States of America, though I would say America right now is probably the best country to be in the world. Now, it's not the best country that ever was in the world. That's Israel. But today, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful I'm an American. I don't know about you. And I'm not going to let these diehard liberals take it away from me. Come on, without a fight. Amen! I'm not going to just lay down. You know, Christians are not floor mats to be walked upon. And as you can see, I'm not a pacifist. But I will tell you, I am thankful for America. But we have a better country than this country. And the Bible says, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. We have a heavenly country. It's better. Better than any country on this planet. And guess what? We have a better resurrection. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They didn't even accept deliverance. They were not going to recant their faith that they might obtain a better resurrection. We have a better resurrection. Do you know that the wicked are going to be resurrected too? The wicked are going to be resurrected. And they're going to be tormented, everlasting torment, in the lake of fire. They're going to have a body. It will be fitted for destruction. I can't even, if it wasn't in the Bible, I couldn't even comprehend any of that. But you and I, as born-again believers, we have a better resurrection. Think about it. Never going to need glasses again. I'll never have to take Excedrin again. Come on now. Come on now. Woo! No more wrinkles, ladies. No more pimples. Hallelujah. No more fat to worry about. Can I say this to you? I'm finished here, really. I told preacher was kind of looking at me and says, you know, Brother Freed, you gained a little bit there. I should have said, it's none of your business. Go home. But I was trying to be nice, you know. I said, well, God gave me a verse about that, by the way, you know. It wasn't to justify anything, but just simply said the Bible says that the liberal soul shall be made fat. I guess that's the only time it's good to be liberal. He looks at me, I mean, smart whippersnapper, man. He came back just as fast. He said, he didn't say anything about the body. He said the soul, the liberal soul, not the liberal body. I said, come on now, brother, give the Jew a break. Amen. Now, we got better resurrection and we got better things to look forward to. Hebrews 11:40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect, and to Jesus, mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. Did I talk about the better substance? We have a better? Yeah, amen. So that's it. That's all I got for tonight. Now, I could preach long if you want me to. Yeah, and 12, huh? Is that all right? You want me to preach until 12? About 12. Is it about 12? Ah! Whippersnapper. What's your name, brother? I knew you were the evangelist. Now, Luke, by the way, you know, I'm done, okay? I'm done, all right? Hey, now, listen, it's going to get better. How many are convinced it's going to get better? There's absolutely nothing can happen to you that would even compare. Now, Luke, you want to know something? When my grandson, my firstborn grandson, my second grandson, yeah. So he's gonna, they're figuring out what they're gonna call him, you know, what name. So my mother, at the time, she didn't know the Lord. By the way, my mother did get saved. How many knew that my mother got saved? My 88-year-old mother got saved. Can you believe that? I've been witnessing to her all these years. And some would just think that, you know, she's never going to get saved. But don't ever say never. I mean, really, don't ever say never. Because my mother, she asked the Lord to save her, you know. You know how hard it is for a Jewish person to get saved? It's rough. And, but my mother still has a lot of Jewish stuff in her, you know. And she said, they better name him by a Jewish name. I said, well, Ma, I can't force Samuel and Molly to do that. I can request, you know. And so I said, Samuel, they were wrestling between two names, Nathaniel, which is very Jewish, and Luke, which is a Greek name, by the way. It's a Greek name. And and they were trying to figure out what should they call him, you know? Should it be Nathaniel or should it be Luke? Now, my mom would say Nathaniel, but they like Luke. I don't know why. I don't know where he even got that from. I never talked about Luke and when I raised Samuel. I'm not against Luke, okay? Yeah, I'm not against Luke. But Luke just don't have that Jewish flavor to it, you know what I'm saying? And okay, so I did a little research because I do a lot of research on words, etymology. I am an etymology expert, I guess, because it's part of my ministry. And I've always believed that Luke was a Jew, even though he had a Greek name, because in most Bible colleges, they say Luke was not a Jew, he was a Greek. But they got it half right. They don't have it totally right. Luke had to be a Jew. You know how I know that? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, it was committed unto them. Who's the them? The Jews. The oracles of God. The gospel of Luke was given by God to a Jewish man. His name was Luke. Huh? How about that? What do you think about that, Luke? Huh? What do you think about that, Luke? And then when I looked up the etymology of the word, I was astounded to find out that Luke has Hebraic. You know what Hebraic means, right? From Hebrew roots. He has Hebraic roots. The Luke is a Jewish name. That's why you're so handsome. Amen. Well, at least they make noise. You ever been to a dead church? Ugh. You go to a dead church, you become dead. Right? Anyway, things are going to get better, ladies and gentlemen, and don't let the devil make you think otherwise. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time. We thank you for all these precious blessings, better promises, better covenant, better testament. We have a better resurrection. We have better things, so much better things, even now, more than we ever did before we got saved. And so let us dwell on that, dear God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. May that be our prayer tonight. And Father, if there is an unsaved person tonight, I pray they'll recognize that Jesus is the only sacrifice that can redeem them and pay for the penalty of their sins. They don't have to go to a devil's hell. They can be saved tonight. They can have eternal life. They can have their sins forgiven. So I pray now, Father, you'll help them to trust you and come to Christ and receive him as their Lord and Savior. For the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name. In Jesus' name.